okay if I pew and not doing anything. But worship is activating our spirit. It's activating our voice and saying, Lord, I praise you. I declare that you are good. I declare who you are. So that is what we want to do this morning, corporately, individually, and just get lost in his presence. Just get lost in worship this morning. I just want to read Psalm 63 real quick. It says, oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there's no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise you. Thus, I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. So right here, we are exhorted in the Word of God to worship, to praise, to let our lips glorify the Lord, to stand up, to lift our hands up. So I encourage you just to rise up this morning. Just let your soul arise. Just rise up, stand up, come to the front, come forward. The Lord was speaking to me yesterday when I was driving. He was just saying, Mike, I want to capture your attention. I want to capture your undivided attention every moment, every moment. He was just encouraging me, Holy Spirit was, and I was like, Lord, there's so many things that try to fight for our attention in life, but there's one who is the most important of all. He is the most worthy of all, and so we need to give him our attention every moment, not just here on Sunday morning, but every single day, every single second of our lives, being so dependent on him. Oh, so just get out of your seat. Just don't get comfortable. Worship. Let's go for it, all right? Woo! Let's go for it, all right? Yes. Woo! Yes. Oh, I will worship you. I will lift up my voice and sing. Oh, don't stand still anymore. Let your body move around. Let your spirit jump. Let your soul get caught up with the Lord now. Oh, you are free to dance before your King. You are free to sing out to your God. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Let's all sing it out. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Yes, you are, Lord. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
Yes, we do with all our hearts, Lord.
We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. And you are good.
Yes, Lord, you are good. My lips will praise you. My heart will lift up your name.
And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Forever, Lord.
And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
and people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Oh, we worship you for who you are. You're Almighty God, and we worship you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We worship you for who you are.
And you are good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're so good, so good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Let's sing, you are good.
You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good.
Let's sing that again.
You are good. All the time. All the time. You are.
We're declaring that.
You are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. And you are good. All the time. All the time. You are good. You are good. All the time. All the time. Jesus. And people from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you.
Oh,
you have my attention, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good all the time, all the time. You are good.
Let's go. Let's all sing it out.
All the time, all the time. You are good, you are good. All the time, all the time. You are good, you are good. All the time, all the time. You are good.
Oh, I seek you every moment, Lord. You are my first love. You are everything, everything, everything. You are the air I breathe. You are the song I will sing. 'Cause your holy fire is consuming our hearts now. Holy, you're holy, Lord. You're holy. You're holy, Lord. You're holy. You're holy, Lord. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy, Lord. I will lift up your name. Exalt the name of the Lord, of the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Exalt the mighty name of Jesus. Exalt the mighty name of Jesus. Exalt the mighty name of Jesus. Exalt you forever. Exalt you forever. Exalt the mighty name of Jesus. Exalt the mighty name of Jesus. Exalt the mighty name of Jesus. A Jesus, a Jesus. Oh, lift your worship to the Lord. Lift your praise to the Lord. Lift your voice to the Lord. Oh, God, we love you. We love you. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you into our midst now. Into our sanctuary. Into our hearts now. Into our hearts now. You are the Son of God. Oh, you rose from the dead. You are risen, Lord, King of glory, King of majesty. Oh, this is a new day. I will rejoice in you now. I will rejoice in you now. I will rejoice, 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 rejoice in the Father, rejoice in the Son. Rejoice in the Spirit of God. Rejoice in the Father. Rejoice in the Son. Rejoice in your Spirit. Rejoicing in my Father, rejoicing in the Son, rejoicing in the Spirit of God, three in one. Rejoicing in my Father, rejoicing in the Son, rejoicing in the Spirit of God, oh, three in one. Rejoicing in my Father, rejoicing in the Son, rejoicing in the Spirit of God, three in one. Rejoicing in the Father, rejoicing in the Son, rejoicing in the Spirit of God. Oh, blow, mighty wind of God. Oh, blow with your Spirit now. Can you feel something's happening now? Can you feel His Spirit moving, moving in our hearts now? This is a new sound arising, a new sound arising, a new sound arising right now in this place. A new sound arising, a new sound arising, a new sound arising in this place. There's a new sound arising, a new sound arising, a new sound arising in this place. A new sound arising, a new sound arising, a new sound, a new sound. A worship warriors arise. Worship warriors rise. Oh, you're a worshiping warrior for Jesus, for Jesus. You're a child of the King. Oh, you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have all things in Christ. We don't lack anything. We don't lack anything, 'cause we are yours. Yeah. And we are yours, Lord, forever yours. Sometimes there might not be words on the screen. Oh, but you can feel the song rising up inside of you. Just let that come up. Just lean into His Spirit now. Oh, there might not be an agenda. There might not be a plan. Just lean into the Spirit of God. There might not be an agenda. There might not be a plan. But we can lean into your heart, O Lord. Let the worship warriors arise. I just really feel right now that there's some in here that you haven't fully experienced the Lord in worship. Oh, and I just encourage you. The Lord is here and He wants to touch you right now. He wants to take you to that place right now of encounter, of intimacy with Him. So we need to turn our gazes to the Lord right now. We need to turn our thoughts to the Lord, because it's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. It's not about us. The Lord wants to partner with us. He wants to co-labor with us. But it's time. It's time to fully step in and not say, oh, here's another worship time. Here's another worship time. I'm just going to sit in the back and not do anything. Oh, 'cause it doesn't apply to me. That's not my personality. Oh, I don't need to do that. But You are created. You have been created. You have been created to worship. To worship. Rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up, mighty warrior. Rise up, rise up, rise up. Just another song. This isn't just an agenda. But we look to You. We exalt You, Lord. We exalt You, Lord. Exalt, exalt, exalt the mighty name of Jesus. Of Jesus. Of Jesus. You are, You are, You are, You are King of glory. Higher and higher into His glory. Higher, higher, higher into Your throne. Higher, higher, higher into Your throne. Higher, higher, higher. I wanna go higher. I wanna go deeper. I wanna go further. As in a mirror, the word of the Lord. We are being transformed from glory to glory. 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 Oh, from glory to glory. Yeah. Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and daughters arise. Let the sons of God rise up, rise up. We love You. Oh, we take our sword. We take our sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Word of God, cutting through the darkness. Oh, cutting through the darkness. Oh, yes, Lord. We just praise You now. Oh, just lift your voice and praise the name of the Lord. Oh, we love You, Jesus. We love You. Oh, just give Him praise this morning. Oh, You are holy. Hallelujah, Your grace is sufficient. Holy atmosphere of heaven permeates this place. I want to go higher. I want to go deeper. Have Your way, Lord. Oh, we want You more. We want You more. And blow,
mighty breath of God.
And move upon this place and blow
mighty breath of God
and
and come in power and grace.
Blow and blow.
Mighty breath of God. And move upon this place. And blow.
Of mercy flowing down, light of heaven all around,
falling to the ground. Oh, we sing it out and blow. Sing it out and blow, mighty breath of God. Won't you come in power and grace,
Spirit fire,
Spirit fire, fan the flame,
fan every flame in every heart, Lord.
A passion for your holy name,
burning everything.
You, God,
burning everything. We lift you up and blow, mighty breath of God, and move.
Let your wind blow, and let your wind blow,
let your fire fall, let your wind blow,
your wind blow,
let your fire fall, God, let your wind blow,
your wind blow,
let your fire fall. Let your wind blow, your wind blow. Let your fire fall and blow. Mighty breath of God and move upon this place and blow.
Breath of God
and move upon this place.
This is the cry of our hearts, Lord.
And blow, mighty breath of God.
Let your wind blow, and let your fire fall.
Let your wind blow, your wind blow. Let your fire fall, your fire fall. And let your wind blow, your wind blow. Let your fire fall,
fire of God. And let your wind blow.
Your wind blow, let your fire fall.
Oh, I lay my heart on the altar that you would consume this sacrifice of praise to you. I lay my heart on the altar that you would consume this sacrifice. Oh Lord, a praise to you. You are the great I am. You are the living word. You are the breath of life.
You are the breath of life.
Oh, to all. You are the lifter of my head. You are the father of light.
Father of light.
You are everything I ever need. Let your fire fall, and let your wind blow. Let your fire fall, and let your fire fall. Just ask him right now. Oh, let your wind blow, let your wind blow. Ask him right now, and let your fire fall. And let your wind blow. Let your wind blow all through this place. Oh, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I love you. Tell him you love him. Tell him.
For me.
Your blood ran down for me. Your blood, it covers me. Washes all, washes away my sin. Washes away my shame. It is gone, it is gone. Cause I am redeemed by you. Let your wind blow. Let your fire fall. Let your wind blow. And let your fire fall. Your fire fall. And let your wind blow. Let your fire fall. How I need it. Let your wind blow. I need you, Lord. Let your fire fall. King of glory. King of glory. King of glory. You are welcome in this place. Oh, just ask him right now to come. Invade your heart. Invade this place. Oh, Holy Spirit, there's none like you, Lord. There's none like you. And King of glory. King of glory, we say open up the gates and let the King of glory come in. And King of glory, King of majesty, King of wonder, splendor. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Can you imagine such beauty before you? As we behold you, Lord, can you imagine such beauty and love? Beauty and love. As we behold you, as we behold you, Lord, can you imagine a love that's deeper than the ocean? Imagine a love that goes farther than you've ever seen. You imagine a love that touches the deepest places of your heart. Can you imagine a love that goes deeper than the ocean? Imagine a love that goes further than you've ever seen. Can you imagine a love that touches every place of your heart? Can you imagine a love that goes deeper than the ocean? Imagine a love that's further than you've ever seen. Imagine a love that touches every place of your heart, of your heart, of your heart. Oh, can you imagine? I don't need to imagine. It's real. It's real. It's real. I don't need to drum it up. It's real. Oh, reality of the Father's love. Reality of the Father's embrace. Reality of the kingdom that's coming soon. It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you, within you. The kingdom of God is within you, within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Oh, the kingdom kingdom of God is within you now. Oh, just press into the presence of the Lord. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you know? The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom is within you. Just lean into His presence now, His presence now. Oh, we worship You, mighty God. You're worthy, 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 You're worthy. Oh, oh. Jealous love never gives up on me. Your jealous love, Your jealous love never fails.
Father, we just thank You that You are jealous for us. Your love is so vast, it's so magnificent that we are just positioning ourselves to receive You. Receive more of You, Lord. You are jealous for our affection.
I have a jealous love.
You're jealous for our attention.
You have a jealous love.
You're jealous for all of us, Lord, that we would love You with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength.
You have,
Lord, that our bodies would respond, that our emotions would respond, that our minds and our wills would respond by the Spirit to Your jealous love. We just thank You, Lord. The great bank account that we can draw from because of You at the cross, Lord, depositing that and making a transaction of love that would enable us to walk in all the kingdom blessings You have because of love. You enable us to love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength so that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. That comes from You. That kind of love is fiery. It's unending. It's jealous. It's protective. Oh, it's bottomless.
Yes, Lord.
It carries the very wave and DNA of heaven because You are love. And that's what You're saying to us now. You're drawing us. Oh, beloved, He's drawing us into His arms. He's drawing us, irregardless of how we feel, irregardless of what we think, irregardless of what's been going on. He's saying, I'm drawing You by My magnificent, majestic love. Wow, My glorious, My everlasting and effervescent love. I'm drawing You right now. My Spirit is drawing You. I am here. My fire and My wind is here to draw You, to draw You, to draw You, to draw You into My arms. My arms that will hold You and caress You and release You into another realm. Release You into another kingdom place. Release You into a dimension, into a sphere of influence that you can't even imagine. That's our Yeshua. That's our HaMashiach.
Jealous love.
Oh.
Jealous love.
Lord, that jealous, fiery love. We contend for more. We contend to understand and to walk in the knowing, to walk in the understanding, the spiritual wisdom and understanding from that, Lord, so that our ways would mirror your ways. Our kingdom heart would become what you have designed for us. Thank you, Lord. Touch each one now with your powerful healing touch, Lord, because of your jealous love. Lord, whatever our plans are, we lay them down for what you say, for what you do. Wow.
You have such yes, a Lord. Love for me.
Yes, Lord. Wow.
You have such a burning wow. love for me.
Wow.
I run.
Yes, Lord.
I run into your
How many of us
arms.
Know that when we're receiving more and more of this indescribable, uncontainable, irreplaceable, jealous love, when we are stepping in as recipients, then and only then can we really, really love ourselves and others. We can say it. It can look like it. But Lord says it's going to be my way of jealous love being manifest. Oh, I literally, in my ears, in the spirit and also in my ears, I heard this hurricane blast during worship this morning. And suddenly I was in this sea, this magnificent sea of love and power. It was so powerful, it was frightening. But it was the fear of God. And when I looked around, it was ferocious. There's a ferocity to the magnificence of the love of God. There is a ferocity. And he says, you can experience that ferocity. It's a good thing. He takes us step by step. But when the line is taut and tight, we think, okay, you're just going to drag me. But when it's loose, completely secure on both ends, by the love giver and the love receiver, the Lord says it goes both ways. So it shoots both ways. And even when the line is strong and taut that we hope, God, don't let go of me. I want to feel that strength so that I know. There's a loosening. This is what I saw. There's a loosening of the, not of the hold of the line, but there's a freedom in the line where when you're grabbing the line, you know that you know that you know that no matter how strong it feels, you're going to be going to the next place. But there's a looseness in that because the Lord says, I desire for you to love and not be yanked. I desire for you to respond. It's a very powerful picture he gave me. And the Lord's been showing me that that's where the trust is. That's where we many times hold so tight that we can't believe that you're really on our side, Lord. Can't imagine, but we have to know that it's so tight that you're pulling and yanking. But even when it's a little looser, he's still drawing. He's always drawing and never letting go. We can have that assurance. So when the waters feel turbulent, when the waters feel as though they're swirling around us, we have the assurance because of the nature of God, because of how the DNA of heaven, the character of him, that it is not loose at all. It is secure. How? Secure enough to fully trust. And that's where he comes in with his love to convince our emotions and our will and our thinking that it's true. But he says it is true, just step in, whether you're convinced or not. Some of us wait to be convinced and then we step in. That's the upside down kingdom when he says, no, there's a better way, beloved. It's different. It's different than that. He says, step in and I will increase your trust because I'm trustworthy. My nature is trust. Wow. I don't know about you, but that propels me to want to run to my bank account that was set up at Calvary and say, I'd like a withdrawal, please, from that great transaction that took place in the Spirit, because I'm your kid. Whether I feel that yank or not, I'm your child. You're my daddy. Wow. How many of us know that when that love, that great love is released, as we're talking about, and continuously released, I want more. I want more of your Spirit. I want more. I want more. That on the other end, he says, as you release and receive, you will automatically, meaning as a result, love me more. You can. You shall. You shall. You shall. And with that shall in mind, the change that takes place inside of each one of us is that we end up in our journey. We're always ending up. Today we end up. We go to sleep at night, and then we take tomorrow, and then we end up the day, and we keep going, and we keep going, and we keep going. But as we end up, each moment of time that's defined for us, because we're these earthly creatures, living in earthly suits, but glorified from the Lord's perspective when he sees us, who can figure? He says, you will love me with ferocity. And when you give to me, you're not giving to a project. When you love your child's not a project. Oh, no, never. When you love your parent or parents, they're not a project. You lavishly love and honor because of who you've become. Not just because of who they are, that's great, but because of who you've become. The enabler inside enables us. So when we have given, and many of you have given so much at Frontline, much of what we've seen and much we haven't seen, and you keep giving and you keep giving, when it's given from that heart of ferocious love for him, not for any other reason, lives change. Destinies are set into motion. How many of us know that our destiny really is the process? It's not the end result. We know we're going to glory if we love, if we know him. But our destiny is the process. He's so engaged in this process of love with us. So engaged. He's so serious about that.
How many are blessed today? Whoa. Spirit is moving in here today, don't you think? Even more than usual. Even more than usual. How many like a long process of walking with God where he reveals himself step by step, moment by moment sometimes? If it's not getting sweeter for you, you may not be fully in that process. It's getting sweeter. I don't know if you've noticed. It's getting sweeter. Being with him, walking with him. I would just like to say that Pastor Mary Pat looks really cute today. I just noticed a couple times, so I thought I would mention it to you. How many would say amen on that? There you go. There you go. That's right. And you get to enjoy her, you know, during the service. I get her all day long. Woo! Sweet. Sorry, I interrupted my... Okay. So we're walking with God moment by moment. And it's getting sweeter and sweeter. We just celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary in June. And it just keeps getting sweeter and sweeter. Just within the last month, it's taken an upgrade. We've asked the Lord to come in more into our relationship. Not because it was going downhill, but because it was going up and we wanted it to go even higher. And so he's come in the last month or so. You know, we were separated for about 3 weeks this summer for China and about 3 weeks for Mozambique. It seemed that when she came back from Mozambique, the Lord decided to upgrade and come into our relationship even more than he ever has before. And so it's making him sweeter because we're sweeter on each other. How many know how that works? Come on. Come on. When you have close relationships with people that love the Lord, it makes your relationship with the Lord that much sweeter. It's that much easier to step into a closer relationship with him. So I would just report that we are getting closer with him together than ever before. We've giggled more. We've laughed more. We've gone out to eat more. We've taken more walks. By the way, the going out to eat. When it's my turn to choose, I go to Applebee's. When it's her turn to choose, we go to Sahara Grill. But I found something good at Sahara Grill, so I'm good. The coffee is excellent. And the lentil soup. Just a recommendation. Get the chicken. Although, when they delivered it to my table, they forgot the chicken. So I was looking around in the soup for the chicken. Because they said it was crushed lentils. So I thought, could they crush the chicken too? So I'm looking for the chicken in my lentil soup. I couldn't find it. So the waitress came over and she said, is everything okay? I said, I'm looking for my chicken. She said, oh, I forgot it. Just a minute. I'll go get some. So she brought it out on a platter. And I made my own chicken lentil soup. That's how the Lord partners with us. Brings us everything we need. Sometimes we have to ask. How many know that? All right, back to the process. So we've been through this process as a couple. This body has been through a process. How many know that? If okay, Andy. And so, those of us that have been covenanting together, got a little quieter. Some have joined into the covenant of this body. Others, you know, you're still checking it out or you're visitors or whatever. That's more than fine. We don't really know the difference all the time, obviously. Everyone's just worshiping the Lord together. But there are those that are a core group here that have covenanted with this body. And they give, and they give, and they give. We've noticed that increasing in this last season. More and more sacrificial giving. So if you felt like you've gone the other way, you know, it's time to kind of catch back up. Because there are those that are stepping into a whole new season of generosity. The Father's being generous to us. We're lavishing it back to build his kingdom. And so this year, obviously, we've taken missions to Singapore and Indonesia and Brazil, and we've taken missions to China, Mozambique. We plan to go to Ghana before the end of the year. We've been giving. But in June, we were given a deadline to purchase this land and this building. The deadline is Friday, August 31st. That's the deadline. And so when we talked with the committee back in June, less than 2 months before the deadline, they said, you know, we're going to have to give you a deadline. I mean, we offered the building to you. We know that the funds are coming in, but we really need to give you a deadline. And our statement to them was this: that's great. Thanks so much for giving us a deadline. They were a little surprised. But the Lord had laid on our hearts that there was going to be a deadline. And that we should respond that when God has a deadline, when our Father in heaven has a deadline, he loves to meet that deadline just to show us how mighty he is. And so that's what we spoke out. Thank you for the deadline. Now we know God's going to do it. Now we know he's going to bring in the rest of the funds to buy the building and the land. And we thought of you at that moment.
We knew before that was given to us that the Lord would do that. I just want to add my voice that when that deadline was given, we were excited because we knew it was closer to completion. But we had the faith and the belief that it would all be in.
So we expressed that to them. They were glad. We were glad. We left the meeting both in joy. And that's a good thing, right? But then we're going to take a trip to Mozambique. We're going to take, China first, then to Mozambique. As you know, we haven't been coming every week and saying, please, 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 don't you know we need money for the building, for the land? We just, every once in a while, we'd mention something. We had the letter out there. We sent the letter out. But we haven't been pleading. Because if you trust that God's going to bring it in, he can touch the people's hearts. I was telling someone by an email this week and kind of just realizing it again for myself, we don't pass the offering plate in here very often. You notice that? Some people, when they first came here, after a few weeks, they said, where in the world's the offering box? Or when are you going to pass the offering plate? And you kind of forget that we don't. But it's this box back on the wall. We're trusting that God's going to speak to your hearts even on a weekly basis to support what goes on here. And you know, it's worked. We go all over the world. We travel with various trips. We go downtown. This place keeps running. Amazing. Without passing the offering plate. Not that we're against that.
That may happen someday when the place is larger for ease. But the heart is that we trust that people want to give. So that it's a possibility that will occur. And we've seen the baskets go at times. So for anyone who's running that through their grid, like I've seen those baskets before. It's a priority to us because we know that it's a spiritual principle and it's part of the spiritual DNA of who we are that we receive and we give. We receive and he give. And the Lord gives and gives and gives and receives. So you may see that, but right for these 7 years that we've been in this building, that's not what we have felt was the way to do things. But we're open to however God wants to do things for us.
So in June, we thought about, give or take, 70% of what we needed. So we needed 30% in less than 2 months. And so, this morning would be one of our final pleas that people would turn that in, of course, if that were the case. But I would like to just tell you that God, because we give to him and not to a project, that he has met the need for the land and the building. Yes, Lord. Woo! Yes, Lord. We bless your name. We honor you, God. Yes, Lord. Now, I would hope that we could continue to celebrate this today and ongoing. But one thing you need to know is this is a lesson for each one of us in our own personal lives when something like this happens. And here's one of the lessons. Moses had just led the people out to the Red Sea. He thought that was a boundary. The armies of Egypt started to chase him. He thought they were a boundary. They were going to make the boundary of the Red Sea and the boundary of the army coming a destruction of Israel if God didn't act. So he was crying out to God. You know, I'm sure something like, you led us here. You brought us to this point. You released us from Egypt. And now all we're facing is roadblocks and boundaries. And the Lord said something very interesting. It's in Exodus, if you want to read it. He said, stop crying out, or why are you continuing to cry out? Move ahead. Now, ahead to him was a body of water, a boundary. But God said, cross into that boundary. And that's similar to what happened back in June. We started making plans for renovation of this place. Before June, I think we started rumbling around and making some plans. And those plans are in motion to transform the inside of this place. You do that because you are expecting God to open the Red Sea. You're expecting to go toward the promised land, and so you plan beyond the boundary that's in front of you. If you do this personally, you'll find amazing things happen. When we were in the hospital in 2009 for malaria, Heidi Baker came in to pray for us. I noticed in her prayer, Mary Pat could hardly even realize she was there. But I was down in the foyer. She came through after praying for Pastor Mary Pat, and she stopped to pray for me. I noticed something about her prayer. She was praying what would happen after the malaria was cured. How God was going to use this to bless his name, to bring glory to his name. She was praying beyond the present roadblock. And that's what's happened with this. We started making plans for renovating before we had the money to purchase the land and the building. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to get some renovation. Some things are going to happen in here in the next couple of months. It's going to look a little bit different. Some will probably say, oh, I love that orange carpet. And those beautiful pews. I spent so many hours crying out to the Lord. My tears soaked the carpet. I'll tell you what, if you can tell which square you soaked your tears into, I'll give it to you. And if it's the same square as somebody else, I'll auction it to you. Are you okay? All right. This is an exciting time. What's this mean in the spirit? Oh, my. I think in the last month and a half, I've spoken in tongues more than I have in my whole entire Christian life. Everything is working together to go up, to go up, to go up. So we need to follow where the Spirit takes us. So if it gets crazier than it was before here because we're following the Spirit, please know what our hearts are. We don't want any more boundaries. The message last week about being cured of the disease, of being religious, of being a Pharisee. All of us are in that process, aren't we? Aren't we? And we just want God, cure us, take us to a higher place, a greater place. This is a testimony that he's on our side. He's believing in us more than maybe we've believed in ourselves. Well, I'd invite somebody to church, but golly, I have to go through this whole thing. Well, when you go now, there are people that might fall down. There are people that might shake and rattle and roll. And, you know, that's the way it is there. We're going to get to a place where we don't apologize. We celebrate that. We say, hey, you come to our place, you might shake and bake and rock and roll in the Spirit, and it's going to transform your heart, and you're going to look at things different, and you're not going to be bound up anymore. You're going to be free. You're going to be crazy like me. And people will say, you know, I'm sick and tired of being same old, same old. I think I'll show up there. What do you say? Don't you think? Absolutely. Well, bless his name. Amen? Oh, come on. Whew! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You've done it again. You've done it again.
One of the important things before we talk to the children is that if you are feeling stirred inside, I want to be part of this. Oh, I meant to. Oh, there's not a deadline. Even though the deadline from the brethren came to us that day, there's from in the Spirit, there's not. So if you want to jump in on that, we are giving to the Lord, and it's a mission. It's not a project. He's trying to change our thinking. So when the Lord said, this is what I'm doing in this season, you will have there will be a different look about this place in the spiritual, in the natural. It encompasses all of us. How many of us know that we're a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit? So we intended to look at this season with those eyes. So we've been in this ministry. We're beginning our 18th year, and we are finishing 7 years in this physical building. But this is just the beginning, actually. And so when we ask the Lord, what are you saying for 2012? He says, this upgrade has been in motion already for 7 years. Now there's going to be something that's going to appear to be very accelerated because it will look like something where you can experience and see it, and many others will. That's what he's saying for our individual lives. That's what he's saying for our children in Kingdom Kids, in Kingdom Land. He's saying that to us. He says, I want you to see with my eyes, and then you'll move accordingly. And it may not make sense. Probably won't. So when you see the various things here, knowing this has been our place since the beginning, the Lord gave it to us, but there were steps to walk through that secure that in the world that we live. It's a big difference. We can say that when there's sightings of angels on our land, which is not just in the last week, it's been going on for 7 years in this land, okay? The Lord says, this is what I have given you. Now occupy, and then when you occupy, it will look like something. So renovation is the name right now. And if you care to release yourself, your finances and your time into that realm, it will go into the glory realm of what we give to the Lord. It's not the project. He's going to say, I'm going to give you something to see with your eyes, but I'm going to rip you of project thinking alone, because that's where we can become religious. And that's what we say, Lord, I need to understand what that looks like. He goes, I know. And I'll show you. And that's why we're stepping in wholeheartedly. Because he said, this is the season. You move when I say move, irregardless of what you see. So we did not see the provision. And he said, move and do and watch what I do. And that's what he's doing. That's very humbling. When we heard this news, we just wanted to share it with everybody. We just heard this news in the last few days. And when we heard this news, we actually started dancing in the kitchen and crying. I was crying and crying when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, not in any kind of doubt, but just such admiration, such love and such awe for the Lord, because I know so much more is coming for each one of you and your children and their children and their children. So the Lord, this says this is a very significant time. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly. Like, oh, I got that taken care of. What's the next? No, no, no. Stop and see and taste that the Lord is good. And when you drive out of here today, drive out looking at these 5 acres, what God's intent and purpose may be in the season that we're here, however long that will be. And watch what God speaks to your heart and shows you. Because this land is your land. This land is my land. And this is supernatural land and place for us to fellowship as a kingdom family. He's got a plan. Last thing I want to say that is kind of interesting. Don grabbed me this morning when I came in and he said, look what I found, and I put it on a board for you. And it's obviously it's a map of the world, flattened style. And what drew my attention, got my attention more than anything, I know the countries, been to many of them, were the ships down at the bottom. The ships were down at the bottom sailing the seas. And when I had that experience with the Lord today, I was just smiling because in my time with the Lord before I came today, this is what the Lord said to bring. This sits in my office at home. A little shell ship purchased by a fellow co-laborer of love in Mozambique, in Africa, about 9 months ago. 9 months ago. And he brought this to us, Pastor Jose of Mozambique. And he said, this is how the Lord sees you. He's going to show you many things. And I said, oh, that's cool. I like that ship. And we went through a lot of different prophetic things. Many of you have seen this. Some of you haven't. And I said, wow, it's fun to be on that ship. He said, well, you and Bill are out here in the front, in the sea, tethered to the ship, pulling the ship. And I said, oh, really? Oh, wow, how can that be? And he said, well, you can imagine, how can that be, oh God? And he said, stay low, stay drunk, stay in the center of the turbulent waters, and they'll be calm to you, and watch what I will do. And this ship is mighty, it's massive, and when you think it's small, it's not. Compared to my love, yes. Compared to the oceans that you see and that you'll be in, maybe so, with your eyes when you look. But with my power, with my love, you're going to the four corners of the earth. And that's what Don brought today with ships at the bottom. And so we need to be going in the same direction. So it's with great fear of God, I say to you, join up wholeheartedly so that this ship is moving as quickly as can be in these waters, because he has much more of the plan that he's going to unfold for us. See it? Put it in your eye gate right now. It's a prophetic thing. And the Lord will change our thinking if we will let him. We will have all hands on deck if we let him. It won't be your deck. It will be the deck of the Lord. And your hands will become his hands. Things will change. That's a good thing. And we can trust him with that. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's release. Children can go to their classes, and we have another word to continue on beyond that. You like that? Like that shift? Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, knowing that we were going to share this today, I said, well, Lord, what? Wow, it's kind of a big deal. It's a big deal. How do we purpose beyond this? What do we do? We stay low. We stay intoxicated, which is what drunk means, intoxicated in the spirit, which means that we position ourselves to drink of his goodness, to drink of his presence, to drink of him. And if we are consumed with him and consumed with his thinking, his feelings, his emotions, his ways, everything, then our thinking will begin to mirror his. Our thoughts that churn around in our minds will begin to become his thoughts more and more. How many of us just put our hands over our ears and say, oh, I just want it to stop so I can settle and think like him. Oh, and it doesn't stop. And then we experience torment, frustration. Oh, and you can just name the list. Go down the list and name the things that we begin to experience. And the Lord says, I didn't create you for that. I created you for this amazing love. I created you to be able to partner in the realm of love that looks like something. That every time you're thinking about love, you will run your opinion of what love looks like through the grid of what does the kingdom, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit say. Everything. Let me say that again. Every time we're considering what does love look like, our thinking and then our response to that, eventually, the intention of the Lord is for us to have all of that run through the grid of what our Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit think and say. And they all think and say the same thing because they're one. That involves our thinking process. How many of you consider yourself to be very bright? Hopefully everyone raises his or her hand. Thank you. Because God doesn't make dull. Hello. We can feel hindered in things that we were created by God to do and explain it away and say, well, it's because of this. It's because of that. And the Lord might say, well, you might think that, but I see it differently. I see that I created with the intention for you to be able to understand and be able to live and breathe and work and move as a real person, as a real human being in the world that I put you in. And anything that considers itself to be less than that, you have a right to contend for a change. Are you going to? Will you contend for the very change that I actually had in mind for you to consider and contend for? Will you do that? So when I said earlier in our prayer, the prayer before we were speaking, when I said, Lord, I just want to position myself and all of us want to position ourselves to withdraw from the account that has been established by you in heaven for us way back at Calvary. There's a place that has everything. That place exists within us because the kingdom of God is within. But that would be our spirit that connects with heaven. That would be our spirit. So the connection would be, remember I was talking about the line that we hold to and the line that is secure in heaven. That is our spirit. The Father says, I am so committed to you. I am so jealous for your love that is a given. It's a non-negotiable. When will you decide you will believe me? I've given you the world to see. I've given you life. You cannot even breathe without me. You think there's a machine to help you breathe? I've been on one. Let me tell you, you need the Lord or you will have no life. Don't give credit to a machine. Give credit to the Lord. He's saying you're going to see me in new eyes, in new ways in this season, because when as I enable you to step into a greater yes for that tethering, trusting of my goodness, of me, my nature, you will step out and it may appear that you're going to sink, but you'll remember that line is secure and you will never sink. And you will never stumble. And you will never fall. You will never have less than. Why? Because the bank account that we draw from is full and secure and was established at Calvary. That's the power of the cross. That's the power of the resurrection. And I am absolutely confident that this church and this ministry, you are sitting in Frontline Worship Center building. Our family is Frontline Worship Center. We also are a local and international ministry going to the four corners of the earth. Frontline Ministries International. That's you. If you're part of us here and we're all together, that's you. God's plan. Therefore, I know it shall be accomplished. It shall be. So when we step into these places saying, Lord, I want to withdraw, he says, good, good plan. Now you're beginning to think as I think. But if something stops you, boom, hinders you, or distracts you from being able to fully withdraw from that love, then that is where the rubber meets the road. That's where things need to change. That's where the Lord says, I'm going to open your eyes so that they are not dim. I am going to unclog your ears so they are not filled. But I do that, not with a whack. I do that intentionally through love. But if you don't want that love, this is what you will do. Some of our children do that sometimes. They don't want who we carry, what we have. And many times, the problem is on both ends of the child and also the parent, because the parent's response to that will also have a connection with what the child will or will not continue to do. Think on that. Let that just swim around for a while. The Lord is looking for obedient hearts of faith. He's looking for things that in our sphere that will look like heaven. That's what he wants, because that's what love does. Love says, I created you to look like me. I created you to become like me. I created you with the capacity to receive me. I created you with a human spirit to attach with my spirit, which is the very DNA of heaven. And that is so remarkable that that is intended to look like something way beyond what you can see. If you limit that process or slow that process down of how that process is supposed to go, you can. Love waits. But the Lord says you don't have to. Well, I feel afraid. I feel. Probably so. The Lord would say to each one of us, probably so, but he would not desire for us to stay there. So if we're honest before the Lord and say, this is how I'm feeling, he would hold us and say, probably so. However, this is what I say. This is what it looks like. That's why I give the example of parent and children. Because if a parent is not able to or chooses to not respond in a way that will help the child rise up as quickly as possible, then we have disconnects and we have problems. And many times parents will call the choices that they make, they'll call those choices, these are my love choices, and they really might be fear choices. And God loves to expose what that looks like. It's really true. I've seen some people who say, spare the rod and spoil the child. Bam, boom. And that's a good verse because God wrote it. But the way it's ministered, that's what the Lord is saying. Will you minister what that verse is saying from my perspective? My perspective. And so we spend our life trying to figure out what that is. But the Lord is saying, first, I'm going to deal with you, O parent. See, this is relational talk. This is where I'm going here. I'm going to talk about Solomon in a minute. Relational speaking. And so if parents are not flowing, let's say together, if there are two in the same household, that's a problem. If they're flowing together, but it's not the best kingdom solution, that's also a problem. If they're not flowing together because one has a better kingdom solution than the other, and then there's friction, that's a problem. So the Lord is all about trying to give us opportunities to come together to determine what is he's really saying from a kingdom perspective, not what our fears might erupt and lead us to think or believe. Why? We are more apt to jump or even stay in the deeper water longer and go further if that rope between Father and us, children, is loose enough that we know it's so secure that nothing's going to happen. I was so concerned so many years ago when my children were small about something that was very desperately important to my heart, because kingdom things were occurring. Non-kingdom things were occurring. Some of the non-kingdom things were out of my control long before Pastor Bill was my wonderful husband. I'm talking years before that. And so I cried out to the Lord and I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, you keep your eyes on me. Those children belong to me. Keep your eyes on me and listen. They will be fine. But, he said, no buts. And I had an encounter with him and he showed me that. And I determined, I'm sure imperfectly because I'm a human being, but I determined then. That's a word from the Lord. One word from the Lord changes everything. So the question would be, what does it mean to keep our eyes on the Lord? He might say, the way that you are parenting needs to change. Will you listen to that? I had no intention of saying any of this, but now I can see why, because he was speaking to me about David and Solomon. And I believe the same word to David was given. And Solomon was his child and he was produced. But how many of us know when the Lord gives us these examples in Scripture, he is looking not just at the natural, but he's also looking at the spiritual. He's looking at the spiritual. He's saying, I have created you to live in an environment where your spirit will rise and it will rule and reign. Your family. Many times people think family is number one after God, of course. I have read many things about this. I've studied this. I've lived it. And I thought, God, what is a good way to look at this? I've read about Solomon and David and Elijah and Elisha in the sense that they're spiritual family in that regard. And I said, what are you speaking to me? And it was very clear this week again. And we're just speaking back and forth. And he said to me this. He said, I have simplified everything myself for you. I have simplified this. It is not going to be a formula, but it is the tenor of my heart. And the tenor of my heart is this. In Mark 12:30, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with, everybody knows it, right? All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second commandment will be, you will love your neighbor as you love yourself. I know that, but I thought about that in terms of relational living in my own family life, in my spiritual family life as well. How does that all come together? How is it that some will see what the first truth or commandment is more and more and more and more, and others are catching up? How is that, Lord? And he said to me, well, actually, we're all on a journey together, and that same instruction I have given is for you as well. And the way that you will love me tomorrow and next week will look like something, and it, according to how I've designed you, it should increase, because I'm a God of increase. Therefore, the way you love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength today, August 26th, is remarkable. Tomorrow, it should increase. So when Pastor Bill was talking about our love increasing and how it's It has been. It's been increasing. I've been in love with him since the very beginning. But it's increasing. It's intended by God to increase. Our relationships increase. If they remain the same, that's really going backwards. If we say, well, I'm just here. We're just kind of plodding along. There's a problem. Increase is what the Lord's looking for. Why? Because he is our Father of increase. He is our God of multiplication. He's our God of acceleration. If that is his heart, if that's who he is, and he has deposited that in our account because he says you share the same DNA that I have, then that will look like something in your life, and you can contend for that. Oh, so I can actually think about my children, and for us, our grandchildren and beyond, and say, Lord, that needs to look like something. That needs to have a shape of something, take shape in a way that I can wrap my arms around. So if things are happy and joyful and everybody is flowing from what my perspective is, it could be all right, but it may not be. The Lord says, I'm looking for you to think, to breathe in kingdom. That's what I created you to do. If you are not, or you are still slowly moving more and more and more there, but slowly, because this is out like this, then what you see in your own sphere, your family, in your ministry, workplace, will reflect that. There will be a dysfunction from the kingdom. And I said, what? God, he's really? He says, well, anything that is not functioning at kingdom level and kingdom speed, whatever that is, there's a dysfunction there. Well, are you telling me I'm dysfunctional? No. I'm telling you that kingdom is my goal. The kingdom is my goal. The kingdom is my goal. Whatever that will look like for now. And the Lord loves me enough to love me into that next place. When we develop that posture because of love, then we're not threatened by these words. We're like, okay, let me jump into that deep end. I know that you're taking care of me. It's kind of scary because I don't know what's happening on the other side. But we will not have a renewed mind. Now, I've spoken for many, many Sundays on this. You can go back and listen to them. But we will not have a renewed mind without coming to a place of accepting that we don't have to have everything figured out. We need to come to that place. I don't have to have it figured out. Why? Because that line between the Lord and me is strong and there because of him, not because of me. And even if I don't feel it being tautly, okay, now I know he's there. Okay. Even if I don't feel that, I can be sure that because of him and his nature and his character, it's going to be fine. Because he's God and I'm not. If you start there, do you know that fears, hindrances, distractions will begin to fall off? That's not an ending place. It's the beginning place. That's the upside down kingdom. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross because of love. What he did at the cross was because of love. What he did after the cross when he raised was because of love. When he ascended, it was because of love. When he was glorified, it was because of love. It's too much love talk, not enough love talk. That has to be our compass point. One of the women in the ministry here gave a prophetic word to another one several weeks ago and said, I see a compass. This person is not here right now, was a visitor. But I see in your life, I see a picture of a compass, and the directions were changing. North, south, east, west were changing. And I think God's really happy about that. And I've been thinking about that more and more, and what the Lord wants to do is challenge us with our compass places, I guess, places on the compass. And what we believe is our compass for life, taking us, and we're following that direction, that we would say, Lord, I am inviting you into the place. I'm challenging you, Lord, to come into that place and revamp those points, revamp those places in that compass, so that there is no doubt about it. I am not blind anymore. I can see because you've given me sight. Why? Because Jesus gave us the sight. So if there's anything else involved where we're not seeing what needs to take place, at least for where we are right now in that journey, we can step in and we have a right to say, Lord, I need to see in this place. In other words, please reveal to me the next step for me. Well, I did about 3 months ago, but you chose not to listen. How many of us would cringe at something like that? The Lord is saying to us so gently, my love is so big that I am continuously releasing more and more and more and more, so that we will hear and go, wow, yes, that's the reason. So he will challenge us with our, I use the example of parenting, he will challenge us and say, I would like to turn you upside down. What you see, I'm going to give you opportunities to see what is going on, to see what I'm seeing. It's not just somebody's opinion. There is a kingdom reality that can make a difference for you in your child's life. And I'm going to step you into that. Not just give you a, this is it. Here's the solution. Here's the formula. I'm going to step you into it, and it will affect those around you. And you will become an atmospheric changer. But there may be other steps that you need to take for the increased freedom for your child or grandchild. He gave me a direction to go into 1 Kings. I want to highlight some things because I believe when the Lord shows us some things in the scripture from the Old Testament and mirrors it in the New, there are some better opportunities for some of us to grab hold of some of these very general points I'm making that are specifically kingdom points, but they can apply to us directly. Now, as you turn to 1 Kings 3, would you also turn to Mark 12? Start with 1 Kings 2, if you would, please, everybody. And then turn in your book or your iPod or whatever to Mark 12. This may be a two-parter. I don't know. We'll see. If you look at Mark 12, chapter 30, while you have your finger in 1 Kings, it's quite interesting because Jesus is being challenged by a scribe. And he says, ooh, it's a bee. And he says, would you please tell me which is the greatest commandment above all? And we are familiar with this. Verse 29, Jesus said, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And we sing that and we know that that's very, very true. Verse 30 says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. All right, very familiar verse. The second is this.
Turn that way.
If you could just turn the fan, that would help me. I'm having a hard time keeping my Bible steady here. The second is this. Thank you. Someone help Bethany. It's very heavy. You will love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Verse 32. The scribe said to him. Now, this is really curious. This goes into verse all the way up to 34. The scribe said to him, right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there was no one else beside him. So there was a level of recognition at that point that the scribe who's trying to track with Jesus says, okay, you quoted the Old Testament. I'm going to listen. Good job. You're right. The Lord our God is one. But what the Lord wanted him to see was that the kingdom perspective that was for him because he was in the midst of Jesus, the kingdom perspective was, that includes me. I'm not just a teacher. I am God. I am fully the exact representation of the Father for you to enjoy. We're family. We're tethered together. I know his voice. I know his ways. I am him. I speak with him, for him, and the Spirit of God is with us as well. And he is a bridge to bring both of us to you. How about that? Now, that's not said, but that's in Jesus' heart. Why? Let's see what the scripture says. He says, verse 33, which he quotes the second, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. So the scribe is beginning to see that everything that Moses has stood for in terms of upholding the law was maybe a bit in question now. Not that that wasn't right, but there is something the Lord is now going to speak to him about, the fact that he's standing in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's a little bit different. He's not saying God or Moses was wrong. He's saying there's more. So he's stepping into the more right now. He's stepping in a little bit at a time. Very interesting. And he speaks in verse 33, he says, and to love him with all the heart and understanding and strength. Heart, understanding, and strength. Heart, understanding, and strength. That's all of us. All of our heart, with all of our understanding. That means that your spiritual thinking is now, his spiritual thinking and our spiritual thinking is in question. Right now, we are now pondering, what does this look like? You can see the wheels going. But really, they're spiritual wheels because he's experiencing the presence of Jesus. Jesus is speaking truth. But the Word of God is alive. It's not just alive in the New Testament. It's alive in the Old Testament. It's just a matter of how you see. Do you see what I see? Jesus is all about reading the Old Testament. But he says, I'm going to show you what the purpose of the Old Testament is so that you can understand life in the kingdom, boy. And everyone else who comes after that, I'm going to give you that spiritual understanding of how they partner together. So the scribe was beginning to say, okay, this is better than sacrifice. Yeah, okay, I've heard that. I've not really understood that, but now I'm getting it. Why? Because I'm having an encounter with you. I'm beginning to have an encounter with you. So the Lord is taking off the veil from his eyes. He didn't take off, now here's the important part with this. He didn't take the veil off and then say, so what do you think? He gave him an opportunity to encounter the Spirit of the living God through Jesus Christ, and then the blinders started to come. That's the upside down kingdom. God wants to show me, then I'll see. If he wants to tell me, then I'll listen. The Lord's saying, turn it upside down. You have just stepped into the very disease that Pastor Bill was talking about last week. Or refuse to step out of it, because we all have it to a degree, unless or until we continue to withdraw from the bank account of heaven that says, this is 100% kingdom. What are you going to do with it? Not 90%, not 60%, 100% kingdom. Withdraw, withdraw, withdraw. Belongs to you. That right belongs to you. I have deposited in your account, so to speak, and you are free to withdraw. That's who you are. You're in my family. You're royalty. What will you do with that? Will you be willing to listen, to change? Will you be willing? Withdraw. Okay? So the scribe is starting to track with Jesus here. Verse 33. Burnt offerings and sacrifices. I notice when he said that these burnt offerings and sacrifices are mentioned, that much more are the words previous to that. Much more. Much more. He doesn't know how much more really is. He's saying much more. Much more. But he's referring also to loving your neighbor as yourself. So still a limitation. A limitation. Because you cannot have the much more for your neighbor or yourself without first completely, totally surrendering everything to our God. It's the first priority. First priority, love the Lord our God with all heart, all soul, all mind, all strength, whatever it looks like, all looks like something. It will come out in your decisions on a Friday night. It will come out in your decisions on a Sunday morning. It will come out in your decisions with your family. It will come out in your decisions with your finances. It will come out with your decisions or in your decisions for what do I do with my time. It will come out. Number one. Number two spills out of that. Has to. Because that's the priority that Jesus says. Number one is first. Number two is second. And that includes our families. That includes others. Whoa. Are you questioning my family and how I do family? I'm not, but I believe God could. Why? Because he's saying, I want your family life to be the very best it can be, and it will look like something, but it will spill from the first commandment. It's like, whoa. And whenever we get that upside down, I should say, whenever we have that confused, whenever there's a disconnect at any point, that's when we have some trouble. And the Lord didn't create us for the trouble. He created us for glory. He said, you know, Adam and Eve, they had it all. They walked in the glory. They governed in the glory. They got to name the animals. I mean, it was just great. They walked with me. They talked with me. And I needed to send my son as the second to come and bring everything back full circle so that you could really pull from the account. You really could. You could pull out everything. He came as a restorer. Jesus came to restore the glory that we have a right to participate in, to usher in, to swim in, to love, to listen, to receive, to be part of, to absolutely carry to the four corners of the earth. Without some of these things taking place on the inside in an accelerated fashion, this will not be important to any of us. It won't make any sense. It'll be a nice map. For world evangelism, nice ships, it won't trigger something on the inside. It's designed to trigger something on the inside, like, wow, because we were created for this kind of living. Yeah. Verse 34. Fine. Okay. Verse 34 says, when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, I love that. He answered intelligently. Cha-ching. Okay, he got kudos for that. He gave an intelligent answer. That means that he was thinking. He was thinking about what God, he was considering what was going on around him, who was there, what was happening. He was considering where he was, who was speaking, what was said. And so his mind was engaged. Intelligently, Jesus was saying, I believe, he's saying that this word, well, it's not just what I think, this is what scripture means, is that this word means renewal. As he is intelligently responding, Jesus is not saying, well, I'm glad you're just not some dope. That's not what he means by that. He doesn't create. There's no such thing as a dope, but we use that word. But there are hindrances to our thinking, to our processing, that the Lord says, I want to change that up. I want to do something, and I will, if you will let me, if you will seek me, if you will acknowledge me. That's the kingdom. The kingdom is glorious. So if we have areas and issues of what we or the world might say is lack. We can say, well, it's not, it's not, it's not, but then there's still lack. We can hide behind a fear that says, no, it's not. It's just something else. And the Lord says, if you will partner with me, I can turn that into what it's supposed to be, because I created you for no lack in any respect at all. So he uses the word intelligently, I believe here and also scripturally, to suggest that a renewing of the mind was taking place, because there was an encounter with Jesus right at this point. And notice Jesus' response right after that. He says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. I have been thinking about this passage for a very long time and thought, wow, you said that to a scribe. He's on that journey. He's moving. He's encountering you. There's a kingdom encounter. The kingdom is close at hand. You're moving in that direction. You're beginning to see that the purposes for what you thought you were created for look like something else. And I'm going to increase that for you. I'm going to show you that there's more. That more looks like something. That love that I'm releasing by modeling that looks like something. You are in the presence of love that is intended to affect that kind of change. That's why we worship, because he's worthy. Whether we want to feel like it or not, that's not the point. The point is, he's worthy. He is who he is. Jesus didn't say, when you change your thinking, I'll show up. See? He's encountering Jesus. We have the privilege of knowing all of these things and more, experiencing many of them, and saying more is going to happen because he's here amongst us. I am tethered to him, and every fear or hesitation or hindrance, anything in my life has to fall, has to go, has to be removed. There is nothing other than the best from you for me. That's because of your nature. That's not because of me. Your nature is so beautiful and wonderful. Who you are. From that heavenly realm comes everything. That's the glory. The glory, the Lord says, looks like something. It's not just a picture of something that's swirling in the atmosphere. How nice. And we can look at someone saying, look, there we videotaped. That's great. And I'm not minimizing that. But when the glory of God starts to increase in a place and we're taken into a realm, a place, a dimension, a realm of the kingdom that's partnering with who we carry on the inside, there's no stopping a world changer in the making like that. And there are many, I believe, all in this place. I don't believe you'd be sitting in here if you weren't. I really believe that. So the Lord is all about moving things forward, moving things forward, moving things forward in all of us. And he's saying, don't be content. This scribe, he was saying to this scribe, don't be content. I'm going to leave you with something to chew on. I'm going to actually say to you, you are not far from the kingdom. Can you imagine laying down that night when he's laying down going, Jesus said, you are not far from the kingdom. What does that mean? If he said that to him, who knows? It doesn't say in the scripture. But it did shut the mouth of the lion. It did shut the mouth of the naysayer. It did shut the mouth of those who were trying to trip up the very God who loved them the most. It shut the mouth of unbelief. It shut the mouth of fear. It shut the mouth of resistance by Jesus saying, you are not far from the kingdom. Wow. One word from the Lord. One measure, one word can be an audible word. It can be an experience. It can be an encounter. It's one release from heaven. Any release from heaven that comes and grabs us and we hold fast to it, that's intended to change us so that the very next time we have a question about how to do the kingdom, how to do something, how to think, how to feel, how to act, what do I do, how do I motivate, what's the process here? What do I do, God? And he says, go back. What have I said before? What have I spoken into you? I'm resurrecting that. You are a reminder to yourself and to others about who I am. That's how we increase. That's how we grow. That's why That's where we can move in. That's how we move into another place. And it doesn't stop. Marriages will increase. Individuals will increase within the marriages. They have to. Children will increase. Things will increase. That is the nature of Jesus. Wow. I think I'm going to give you a few verses from the Old Testament, and then we'll pick it up another time I'm preaching. But let's look at some for you to think about. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. In 1 Kings chapter 2, thank you, Lord. David was on his deathbed and he was about to die and he wanted to charge Solomon. It was in David's heart before Solomon was going to take the throne. But David, being a father and knowing the spiritual life and principles also, wanted to give him that charge and release the blessing. So here is an example of generational and relational blessing. And the Lord has that picture in this household. Open your eyes to see that. Say, Lord, I'm positioning myself. I want to see what that looks like for me. And so David speaks to Solomon, and he says in verse 3 and 4, if you'll read that, put your eyes in the Bible and open your Bible. That would help. 1 Kings chapter 2. Okay, that's after 1 and 2 Samuel in the Old Testament, if you're looking for it. Okay? He says, keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies. Let's read them again. Here's what you need to do. Keep the charge of the Lord. 1, walk in his ways. 2, keep his statutes. 3, his commandments. 4, his ordinances. 5, his testimonies. Okay, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may succeed in all you do and wherever you turn. Sounds like a good plan. Verse 4. So that the Lord, now this is extremely vital here to carry verse 3. So that the Lord may carry out his promise, which he spoke concerning me. What was his promise? To me? Keep your eyes on me. Your children will be fine. I don't understand that, Lord. I know. Doesn't look like something, probably so. Okay? So in verse 4 he says, if your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. If your sons are careful, that's not fearful, that's another word for wisdom. Wisdom. They are wise in their ways to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul. You shall not lack a man on the throne. He's speaking to him about the government at that time. He's speaking to David about the generations and the reigning of the kings. We're all kings and priests under a new covenant. But he's speaking to him about the safety net for generations to come. He says, I'm increasing you, David, and I'm increasing Solomon, and then Solomon's offspring, and Solomon's offspring's offspring, and that's the intent of my heart. That's a picture of intended revival from an Old Testament perspective. Okay? So the Lord says, this love here is going to look like something. The very DNA that he has, excuse me, for this monstership, right there, the very DNA he has is the DNA of heaven, because he's very, very quick in understanding, wanting us to understand how this works. Go ahead. They have to change this again. We want others to be able to watch this, guys. That's why. It's not that we want to look at ourselves. We want people to be able to watch and then glean something powerful from that. So take a look at the end of verse 4 there. Take a look at those words. truth with all their heart, all their soul. You will not lack a man. There will be no lack for what I've intended for your life and for the government. This is for all of us right now. Yeah. Okay. And then if you will look in your Bible, we're going to also now, you know that David died, and we're in 1 Kings now, chapter 3. Are we on, guys? Okay, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord appeared to Solomon, now here's Solomon, in a dream at night and said, ask what you wish to give me. It's like, okay, I'm going to ask. I guess I'm going to ask. It's really okay. Why? Because he saw the love. The scripture says that he was in love with the Lord, and this is what the Lord told him to do, to go ahead and ask for, well, actually, look two verses before that. That'll make more sense. Verse 3 says, now Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Verse 3, okay? And he sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Solomon ended up making mistakes later in life. But the charge was there. The release of heaven was upon him. And during that season, even though the Lord knows all, this is what God did in response. Very interesting. Verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go in or come out. Help. Help me. Verse 9. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge this great people of yours? So he's asking for an understanding heart to be able to judge. He's asking to be able to wield the sword of faith in the area of righteousness and judgment, which are the foundations of the throne. And so he's saying, I need your help. I don't know how to do this, but I so love people. Track with me here. I so love the people that I am responsible for, that out of my love for you, I love you. I can love them. But the love that I have for them will look like something. Thank you. It will look like something very specific, and it will have form. And because I am who I am, because I'm the king, I need to judge righteously. So I need a discerning heart. And the Lord says, I am giving that to you because out of your love for me, I am going to allow you to model that for others to see. So, you love other people, that's great. But if you don't love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with everything, as you were charged by your father David, by what verse 3 just said to us, that you love me with all your heart, you won't be able to step in to that which I want to release for you. The Lord didn't say, okay, you're a robot. Boom, now you're going to have wisdom. The Lord said, I have positioned you to follow in line with what has been released to you. And he didn't even have the Holy Spirit living inside of him. But he came from the lineage of David. So he was able to connect in. That was a connector in the spirit for him to release a measure of kingdom understanding and wisdom that God would release at that time. And the Lord said there was no one before you or after you that had that type of wisdom in ruling. Interesting. Very interesting to study this, the lives of these two, and to see how they can parallel what Jesus was summing up and saying to the scribe in Mark 12. 30 through 34. What has changed? We're not under the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. What has changed? He's enabled us to be able to have the very DNA of heaven on the inside and to experience that realm of glory that looks very different from what he's saying, even for the Old Testament people. Yet we look at Solomon and go, wow! People were drawn to you, Solomon. You built this temple, and the Queen of Sheba came, and she saw your riches. She heard about you, and your fame went worldwide. And she had to see for herself. She had to see how grandiose this great temple, this resting place for God really was. And that's what you know. Solomon built this great palace, and he built a temple for the Lord. David was going to do that, but it was given into Solomon's hands. God decided to do that. For a lot of reasons, one being David's life. We're not going into that right now, but Solomon was given that privilege, so it took him 7 years to build that temple. Isn't that interesting? But the Lord says, I have come to live inside of you, and my being inside of you is the very temple of God. And so the temple of heaven, the kingdom of God, lives inside of us, each one of us. So therefore, we can make all these bold statements this morning and believe that God will back us up. That's his nature. He gave us a measure of someone to look at with great wealth, great riches, great prowess, great wisdom, great wielding of authority and government and understanding. None compared to him. But he says, you have me living on the inside. What will you do with that? Will you dare to believe that you can withdraw from the very account of heaven that is yours? That will change the way we live. That will change the way that we think. Wow, I don't know. I don't know how to go out or come in, he says in verse 7. But I need this understanding heart. So God says in verse 10, it's pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. God says, because you have asked this thing and not asked for yourself. In other words, because you have loved me, you have acquired the very heart that will involve your thinking of what the very next thing will look like. You will sacrifice for the sake of others. I will give you that wisdom. I have given that to you because you've loved me so much. And it will look like something in the area of upgrade. And in the natural naked eye, people will see that upgrade for you. But I will also give you the compassion, the wisdom, the discerning heart to be able to judge accordingly and righteously. Now, how many of us know that when Solomon had that tested, that there were two women who came to him and both had newborn babies. And one of those babies died because two women who lived together, a mother rolled on the baby after the baby was born shortly after, and the baby was killed, suffocated or crushed or something. It's just horrible to think about. So the other woman who also had a new baby in the house, they lived together, comes with this mother and baby. So you have two mothers, one child, one is dead, so one child now. And the one mother who desperately wanted to have a child, okay, the child that actually had died, that mother said, I can't live. I have to have a child. So I'm going to take my dead baby, believe it or not, and I'm going to go exchange it for the live baby that's in bed with the other mother. We're going to exchange those, and because that mother won't even know. That mother won't even know any difference. And I'll have that child, and I'll know deep inside it's not my own probably, but it's okay, I'm going to have this kid. I can't bear not having this child. So Solomon is posed with these two women coming up, and he looks at both of these women, and both are saying, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. But the lady who really had birthed the child who belonged to her, she listened to what Solomon said, and Solomon said, look, you both can't have a baby, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a sword, and we're going to, boom. Hopefully there's no little, all the children are out. We're just going to cut that child, and then you'll each get half. What do you think of that? That's fair, isn't it? That wouldn't be a righteous judgment, but that could be something that a natural person would do to shut both of the people up. But because Solomon had the wisdom of God, he recognized that love looked like something. He recognized that the woman who had the baby the live baby, was willing to give the baby up and say, you keep, to the other woman, you keep that baby. You keep that baby. I'm willing to sacrifice everything that belongs to me for the sake of life. I'm willing to sacrifice anything that could be part of me for the sake of life. Because of that heart was captured in Solomon. And Solomon's heart was captured with that woman. Because Solomon had said, I love you, Lord, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength first. And then how I wield that out to other people will look like something out of that. He was becoming kingdom without even thinking about it. And that's what the wisdom of God then was enabling him to do. Because he was willing at that point to recognize, able and willing to recognize a superior way of life. The Lord says there's a superior way for each one of us. He said there's a superior way of life, of kingdom life. The scribe had just touched on the parameters of what kingdom looks like. Here Jesus is saying, in Solomon's world, it looks so grandiose. In our world, it needs to look beyond grandiose. It needs to be so huge in our life. Dylan had a vision at the beginning of 2012, and he saw the numbers 2012 with diamonds around it. And we took that seriously and said, so what does that look like? What are you saying? We're still going to the nations. What does that look like for individuals and their lives and their families, for the ministry at large beyond that? What does it look like? What does it look like for Kingdom Kids? What does it look like for Summer Celebration? What does it look like for Frontline Training Center? What does it look like for the various aspects of where we are now? What does it look like in our region? What does it look like in Ohio? What does it look like beyond that? What does it look like? He says, revival is here. I am taking you and I am raising the bar. I'm raising the standard. Today is a day of upgrade in the spirit. The Lord says, love looks like something because love has already come down. And that love that we say yes to is resurrection love on the inside. The Lord says, just raise your arms to heaven right now. Lord, I thank you for what you've shown us this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that you are taking us to a new place, that you're raising up the standard, raising up, raising up, raising up, raising up, raising up, raising up. This is a day of upgrade, Lord. This is a day of releasing us from thinking that has bound us, raising us up from a place that has kept us absolutely in chains, keeping us to a place where we thought we could see and we cannot. Lord, that we're offering ourselves to you right now, that we're offering ourselves to you out of love, because love has come down and we are responding to your love. We're responding to your grace. We're responding to your healing. We're responding to your deliverance. We're responding to your glory. We're responding to that yes in our heart. We're saying yes, Lord God, that nothing's holding us back. There'll be no hindrance at all. We're thanking you, Lord, that we are positioning ourselves for all of the kingdom release that you have for us right now. We thank you, Lord, that you are watching us and you are here amongst us and you're living here right now, saying yes to me, Lord, yes to me, Lord. You're touching me in those deep places, every place where there's been this struggle, this tussle, every place where there's been this tug of war, that your spirit is moving and saying, yes, 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 I will do for you what I did for that mother. I will do for you. I will release you into a new place of love, and you will be an influencer wherever you are, in your family, in your homes, in your ministry, in the finances, in your world around you, in your jobs. You will be the influencer from the ages that I've called you to be. There's a dynamic release from heaven right now. I thank you, Lord, that you're opening the eyes of our understanding to be able to say yes, yes, yes. Lord, there is no left inside of us. We're believing that our words will match up with our actions, and that what we say will come out, and we will do the things that you called us to do. There will be nothing, Lord, that will hold us back, that will keep us corralled. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit is effervescent and pervasive in this house. Oh, wow. 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 Whoa. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shake us, oh God, with your love. Shake us now. Thank you, Lord. Shake us now. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. We don't forget your testimony. Testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Yes, Lord. Just receive right now. Just receive. Upgrade looks like something. Wow. Yeah. Is Jamie in here? Jamie, you grab the keys, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have given you what you have not asked for. I have given you riches and honor, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. If you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and commandments as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. Thank you, Lord. When all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down for the women, they feared the king, so they saw the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. For he had dominion over everything west of the river, from Tipshah even to Gaza, over all the kings west of the river. He had peace on all sides around him. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind like the sand that's on the seashore. And his wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. People came from all peoples, men and people, to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon concerning this house which you are building. If you will walk in my statutes and execute my ordinances and keep my commandments by walking in them, then I will carry out my word with you which I spoke to David your father. I will dwell among the sons of Israel and will not forsake my people. He overlaid the whole house with gold until all the house was finished. Thank you, Lord. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a home for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. So, Lord, we thank you right now that we are postured right now. Oh, that even though in 1 Kings it says all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which you had put in his heart, tells us in chapter 10, verse 24, that right now we're seeking your heart. Ah. Lord, we have positioned ourselves and postured ourselves for the heart of love to be released from heaven right now. And the worship team, just join Jamie right now, the rest of you. We're just going to close as we just position ourselves, posture ourselves now to receive this great increase. Your willing hands raised to heaven a few minutes ago began that process in a new way for the upgrade. And now we're going to cement this right now with our worship and adoration for the Lord. That we say to you, Lord, that all the words that you spoke to David, to Solomon and David, to prepare our hearts for this habitation are what we absolutely believe and will receive without any hesitation. And therefore, Lord, we will be able to advance. We thank you, Lord God, for the advancement this morning. And we thank you, Lord, that to the ends of the earth, we shall follow you because our hearts are postured before you this morning in a new way. We thank you for what you've done, what we can see. And we thank you, Lord, that your statutes and commandments of love and your ways, your kingdom ways, are so powerful that you remind us to never forget and to always declare your testimonies. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We celebrate you, Lord, and we move forward with you right now. We thank you, Lord God, that as we sing out together as a body, that we say, Lord, this is the beginning of something new for each one of us, for this place of worship, for our families, for our realms of influence, Lord. There's something brand new today. An upgrade in the spirit looks like something. And that increase today looks like something. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, that our minds will be transformed today and renewed today. And then tonight will be a different night. Tomorrow will be a different day. That we will choose to say, I will live from glory to glory because the glorious one is on the throne. And I live under a new and better covenant. And I will allow the excess and any thinking that is Pharisaical to be loosed in Jesus' name. Wow. Let's just stand and worship the Lord as we close here to just say, Lord Jesus, all for you.
Here, oh Lord, have I prepared
yes, Lord.
You a home.
This is our declaration for you, God. We declare, oh God, August 26th, this is our declaration.
Here, oh Lord, have I prepared a resting place. Here, O Lord, I wait for you alone. Here, O Lord, hey, yeah. Here, O Lord, we wait, here, oh. Here, O I wait for you alone. Here, oh Lord, I wait for you alone. Here, oh Lord, I wait for you alone. Here, oh Lord.
Father, I just praise you and thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord, that what you have done, who you are, is beyond description, beyond words. We praise you. We praise you this morning. Praise you this afternoon. And we thank you, Lord, that you seal this day. You seal this by the blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you and praise you. We lift you up. May we be forever changed today. May we leave this place expectant, absolutely excited about the future, knowing that we can fully, fully trust you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you.